When I was about 13 or 14, my aunt and my uncle took me and my cousin on an 8-mile-long canoe trip on one of the creeks and rivers in Pennsylvania. So we're excited. My cousin and I are in our own canoe, and my aunt and my uncle are in their canoe, and we've got our paddles, we've got our fishing rods. We're having a fabulous time until one of the famous Pennsylvania thunderstorms starts finding us on the middle of the river. Now, the only thing we could really do when it started to downpour and lightning and thunder was, of course, to pull over to the side of the river to find a nice tree that we could sit under to keep the rain from soaking us to the skin. And we literally clung to my uncle sitting underneath this tree waiting for the storm to go over us. And we're sitting there huddling under this tree as the lightning and the thunder are crashing around and the wind is blowing and the rain is hitting the tree and most of it is going over us so we don't get soaked. And there we are clinging for about a half an hour until the storm passes over. And the sun comes out in typical Northeast Ohio, Northwest Pennsylvania fashion, and it gets about 90 degrees with 95% humidity. So we jump back in our canoe, and we continue to paddle on our journey and have a wonderful day the rest of the day. But as I'm sure you can imagine, our lives are exactly like that canoe trip. We find ourselves going along, paddling along, having a good old time, and then the storms of life find us on our journey. And we have to stop, we have to pull over to the side wherever we are, whatever we are doing, and we must take refuge under something, clinging to someone in order to weather the storm, to then continue on our journey. Now, in our world, there are literal storms, and there are metaphorical storms. Certainly, if you were in the Carolinas, you know all too well about the literal storms that catches you in the open and you must take refuge. But there are also metaphorical storms in life. Difficulties, changes, uncertainties, trips to the hospital, losses of jobs, losses of relationships, sick parents, sick kids. And perhaps we here at Trinity are in one of those literal and metaphorical storms. Times are tough. Things are changing. Whether you are an elder or a deacon or sitting in the pew, this day, in this time, and in this place is not what Trinity was so many years ago. But when the storms of life come rolling, when the mountains totter, when the seas shake, we are reminded with the words of the psalmist, what is the place we can pull over and take refuge, and who we are to cling to until the storm passes us by. We are reminded that our God is our refuge. Our God is the tree and the shelter when the storms of life find us. The shelter where we are hidden and the water drips over us and we are protected and we are preserved through all the difficulties of life. We are protected under God. But we are also reminded that God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is the one that we cling to, the one that embraces us while we are hiding under God, like my uncle under a tree in a thunderstorm. In the storms of our lives, we cling to the Spirit of Jesus under God until the storms roll over us. Well, perhaps then, that is why we have so much prayer in our worship. If you were to look in your bulletins, you would see just how much prayer we have. Now, the reason for prayer is not to be some obnoxious rule that I have to go into this time and in this place, and I have to say the Lord's Prayer so many times, and if I don't, I feel bad because I haven't done my duty. Prayer, whether it be at home or more importantly here, is our place of refuge, where one day in seven we can pull over to the side of the creek and take refuge in God. One day in seven to have a day of rest, to have a day dedicated to the Lord, where in our worship and in our thoughts and in our words and in our time and in our effort and in our hearts, we can spend our time in God and under God, so that we can get back in our canoes and paddle on for 6 days. One day in seven to be still and to know our God. So think about our worship service. We first begin with the prayers prayed before we even have worship. The hours that are spent praying for such and such a person and such a difficulty, the words of the ministers, the words of the choirs, the words of the liturgist, hoping and praying that they don't misspeak the words when they read it. But we pray before we even have worship that God would come into this place and speak and give us the ability to hear. But we also have prayers of confession, prayers of repentance, knowing what we have done the 6 days before this day of rest, knowing that we need to come to God on our knees in true sorrowness and contriteness of heart. But it doesn't stop there. We've got a prayer of illumination. Because if God doesn't speak, I'm wasting your time. So we pray, God speak, God illumine our hearts. We search for God, and God also searches for us. But we have prayers of the people. God help so-and-so. God help me. God help our country. God help our church. God give us peace. God give us healing. Prayers of supplication, prayers of intercession. But we also have prayers of dedication. And I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about us. Prayers where we give ourselves over to God. Here we are, Lord. Have thy way with us. We have prayers when we baptize. We have prayers when we have communion. We have prayers and blessings as we go out the door to carry on the 6 out of 7 days of this week. Have you ever thought why we had so much prayer? And we do all the prayers together? Because our prayers are our refuge. The one day out of seven where we can pull over from our canoes, rest under God in the embrace of the Holy Spirit, and be still and know our God. And there's no more two unsettling words than be still. Are you kidding me? Really, be still. Y'all should see my calendar for what I do after this. But think about what we do. If you're a parent, how much running are you doing? Are y'all alive out there? Think of how much we do. And let's not even get into retirement. Because when you retire, you get to choose the work that you do, not the work that you have to do. But let's face it, we work. We've got kids to take care of. We've got houses that need cleaned. We've got yards that we need to be mowed. We volunteer. We help. We visit. We cook. We go to the grocery store. And then we hear, one day out of seven to pull over from our trips on the river to rest in the refuge of our God, to be still, and we can't do it. Because we're thinking and worrying about something else before or after. And yet, if we're truly God's place to be in refuge, it's about being still. In our hearts and in our minds, sitting on our hands. And yet, Sunday is perhaps the busiest day of the week. Because I have chores to do. And I'm not working, so I can do them. And I have to run to the store, and the family is coming over, and there's Sunday evening dinner, there's football to watch, there's baseball to watch, we are anything except being still. Perhaps that is why there is so much prayer in our worship. Because we are forcing ourselves to sit on our hands, to pull over to the side of our rivers, to rest under God and in God, and to be still. But it goes on. It isn't just about being still one day in seven. It isn't just about taking the day off. You could take the day off and do nothing. But we are told to rest and to be still. But we are also told to know God, to take refuge in God instead of something else, to embrace the Spirit of Jesus Christ and not something else. We are told to be still and know God, not the shopping mall. Not the television. Not the hammock with your eyes closed. It also means we're told to know God and not our families, our country. We are told to be still and we are told to know God. And for every 1,000 gods in this world that want you to know them, there are another 1,000. But we are called to be still, know I am the Lord. Perhaps that's why there's so much prayer in our worship. Perhaps that's why there's worship to begin with, because it is here that we are still and we are know our God. You're not going to get that in your living room. You're not going to know that on your back deck. You're not going to get that on your vacation home. You're going to get that in church, where you can be still and know God. My friends, we are on a journey of discipleship. Call it a trip down the river in a canoe. Call it a trip down the highway in your car. But whatever it is a journey as we follow Jesus Christ. But our Master has said, 6 days you shall travel. 6 days you shall work. 6 days you shall journey. One day in seven, you're spending it with me. And we're going to be on the side of the road. And we're going to be under God. And you're going to be in God. We're going to be still, to be quiet. And we are going to know our God, of his love, of his grace, and of his power. And then when that one day in seven is over, we're going to get back in our canoes or our cars, and we are going to go 6 more days. And then we are going to stop. We are going to pull over, and we are going to be still and know our God. not because we have to, but because the Sabbath was made for you. So, my friends, that is why we have so much prayer, that we be still instead of restless and crazy and manic. But we are not just supposed to be still. We're supposed to be still and know God and be known by God. And I know this sounds self-serving, but it is anything other than that. That's why you need to be here. Together, to be at the heart of worship, to spend time under God and in God, to be renewed, refreshed, forgiven, to seek God and be found by God, to pray for those who need God, who are having difficulties on the journey, to give yourselves over to God, but most importantly, we come here to be still and to know our God. Here, not somewhere else, but here. That's why we have prayer. That's why it's the heart of worship. Not just so we can say some old words together, but in our prayers, we are still and we know our gods. So the challenge is, we need to be here, under God and in God, instead of somewhere else. So may God be given our glory, our honor, and our praises. But most importantly, one day in seven, let us give to God our prayers, and let us be still and know our God. And all God's people say, Amen.